Blog Talk Radio.
But none of that even matters now. Your history isn't your destiny. And you'll find in this life that if you want something you've never had, you have to be willing to do something you've never done. But today's a new day. You stop looking at all the reasons why you consider yourself a victim. You're still here. Nothing has stopped you yet. You've been hit, you've been poked, you've been betrayed, you've been hurt. There's no doubt life has challenged you, but you're still here. You're no victim. You're a victor. You have a history of victory. The only truth is that you are nothing less than spectacular. Stop doubting yourself. You were put on this earth to thrive. Don't you dare put a question mark where God put a period.
Hi, this is Byron Katie.
Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus.
Hi, this is Greg Braden.
Hi, this is Joan Borisenko. I'm author of Your Soul's Compass.
Hi, this is Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior.
Hi, this is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. You've tuned in to a radio show that can truly change your life. It's time to break free from the prison of your negative thoughts and release your greatest self. You're listening to Empowered Living with Steve Marabowie.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Marabowie. In the next hour, Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Marabowie.
Hey, 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 you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Marabowie. Of course, you're welcome to participate with these shows no matter where you're listening. No matter how you're listening, you can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You can also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Today we're talking about giving up. We're talking about giving up. We're talking about quitting. But most importantly, I want to talk to you today about why not to quit. I understand how easy it is to want to quit. I do. Believe me, I do. There have been time and time again in my life when I've wanted to quit. But before you quit, I want you to listen to this conversation and have this conversation with me. And that's what we'll be talking about today. But first, of course, I want to say hello to the A Better Today community. Keep doing what you're doing. Never, ever, ever forget the power of one. It's simple. It doesn't matter what religion you might be, or you might be an agnostic, you might be an atheist. You might believe in flying turtles. You might believe in the one-legged frog in a wheelchair. You might believe in whatever you believe in. It doesn't matter. Don't ever forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Go about your life living this way. When people cross your path, be nice. When you're participating in your own journey of humanity, whether you participate in a spiritual way, in a human way, or you find the battle of the balance between both, just be nice and share and participate in someone else's journey as well. Never, ever forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. And A Better Today community, thank you so much for doing it, for participating, for getting out there, for having that. Some of you have what Dr. King poetically called dangerous unselfishness. Oh, nothing inspires me more than to see somebody dangerously unselfish. I love it. And please, folks, don't forget that power of one. Keep going. Keep participating. Keep touching someone else's life. Keep causing smiles. Keep giving hugs, giving love, giving compassion. Keep touching people's lives. And this world will become, not because we want it to become, but because we make it become the world we wish to see. As Gandhi said, you got to be the change you wish to see. Folks, get out there and be that change. Participate. And thank you so much, all of you, for your feedback, for sharing in this show. We're talking about quitting. But before you quit, the reason I wanted to talk about this today is, man, life gets challenging. We're living in all of the world. We're facing an economic crisis in many ways. In many ways, it is a crisis of humanity that is coming and following the crisis of money, because people are losing their homes and they don't know what to do. They're panicking. There are people losing their jobs. They don't know what to do. They're panicking. There are some people who didn't have a home to lose or a job to lose, but they're still panicking. And you're finding that it's becoming easy to quit. You may not be touched by the financial crisis. You may still have your job. You may still have your home, and you're dealing with the day-to-day struggles that you've always been dealing with. And it's still easy to want to quit. Quitting becomes a part of our nature. Quitting becomes a part of our nature. Because we want to flow sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to go what we think is against the flow. But we don't realize that in the flow of life, sometimes resistance comes in the flow as well. You ever see a boat? Or a canoe as it goes down a river or even a lake. You ever notice that even if you're on a serene lake and you're on a boat, and maybe there's a little bit of a pull and your boat or your canoe is just moving ever so slightly with the flow of the water. And even in that flow, what is the buoyant canoe doing? It's still bouncing around a little bit. It's still rocking. It's still jerking a little bit. All of that is a result of resistance. 100% of that is a result of resistance. So even in a serene lake, a serene river, when you're going with the flow, you're feeling resistance. We do that in our lives, and we like to quit. It seems so easy to quit, and what happens is there are outlets that allow us to quit as well. So it's easier than ever to quit. But before you quit, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of the things I remind you of all the time, that you are more than just the dreamer. I was speaking yesterday. I was so blessed, and I was so blessed in so many ways. Yesterday, to be invited to speak for a Discovery Channel. The Discovery Channel, they invited me to speak to an incredible network of women in leadership positions, a tremendous event, and I was blessed to speak at it. And while I was there, they were filming, and I was honored to be part of a series that is upcoming for them, where they're talking. The series is called Masters of the Mind, and I was honored to be elected one of the people they were featuring. And we were talking about humanity yesterday, and we were talking about change. And they asked me why humans resist change and why humans are fighting against change, and they don't change, and they don't want to change. And I told them that is a misconception. It is a misconception that we don't like change. It's easy to see how we would think that we don't like change. It's not about not liking change. Look at a picture of yourself from 10 years ago. We have no choice but to change. We are change. On the flip side, it's not that we don't like change. It's that we love our habits. We are creatures of habit. And we like to do the same things. But you can't say we don't want change. As humans, it is innate for us to understand and become change. We want change. Every dream you have, every hope you have, every goal you have is a reflection of change. You don't have daydreams about your life how it is now. You don't daydream about your current life. You daydream about something different. You daydream about change. You can't say humans don't want change. We want change, but we love our habits. So before you quit, before you stop seeking that goal you've been dreaming of, before you stop pursuing that goal, that dream that you've had for so many years, before you quit, I want you to understand that much of the resistance you're feeling isn't a resistance to change, but is a reflection of your inability to let go of your habits. When you're ready to quit, what do you say? What are the things you say to yourself? You say, oh, why can't, I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to go back to doing what I was doing, right? That's what you say. Oh, I don't want to keep going to the gym every morning. I'm just going to go sit on the couch, or I'm going to catch up on my paperwork like I used to do. It's not so much that you're running away from the change. You want to be healthier. It's not so much that you're running away from what you've been dreaming. You want to fulfill that dream. You want to bring it to fruition. But what it is you're not running from the change. You're running to your habits. But you already know where your habits have gotten you. You wouldn't be dreaming of change if you liked the direction in which your habits have brought you. So before you quit, I want you to recognize that not only is there no success in the quitting, there's no fruition in the quitting. It might be even worse. As we start to understand the mind more, and we start to understand the fluidity of the mind and the connectors of our brain and how powerful and masterful we are as creating our reality. I've been saying it for years, your agreement with reality defines your life. As I'm understanding it now, science is catching up to that same ideas, and I was catching up to the same ideas when Shakespeare said it in Hamlet and said, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And he was catching up when Jesus said it 2,000 years ago, when he said, rise, woman, it is not me who is healing you. It is your belief that I heal you, that heal you. Agreement with reality as a concept has been out there for a long time, and I've been talking about it myself for over a decade, and science is finally catching up, saying, look at this. Your consciousness is creating your reality. So before you quit, understand what you might be doing to yourself and to this world by quitting. Understand that the challenge might not be in the change. The challenge might be in your marriage to your habits, your faithfulness to your habits, your loyalty to your habits. Instead of recognizing that you are not subject to your habits are subject to you, and you can change them. It takes work, like anything else, but you can change these habits. And you know where you'll get, this is how powerful your love and devotion to your habits are. You know where you'll get if you stay on course, but your habits lure you away. And they lure you away in the strongest way right before they're about to be replaced. That's right. You've been going to the gym every morning for a month, and you've been doing all right. It's a struggle. You've been listening to what other people tell you as far as beating the struggle. Maybe you've been listening to this show, and I say, hey, listen, every day just fight the struggles, and get there. And you've been doing that for a month. And just as it's about to become a habit, just as about to become normal place for you to be there, your old habits start luring you in. Oh, and they entice you because they know, they come from your subconscious, so they know what buttons to push. Oh, if it's a habit, If a habit was a woman, she knows what lingerie to wear. If it's a meal, it knows what meal to be. If it's a drink, it knows what alcohol you like. The habit knows written extensively on this. One of the things, have you ever read the Who Am I? You'll find it on our A Better Today website. It says, who am I? I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half the things you do just as well might just as well be turned over to me, and I will be able to do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must merely be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of all great people and, of course, of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I'm not a machine, though. I work with precision of machine, but I'm not a machine, and I'm a machine plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. Folks, before you quit, think about the dream you have. Think about the goal you set. Think about the time you've put in. Think about it. Think about what you stand to lose by running towards your habit. Your habit is created by your mind. Your habit is a genius product of evolution, masterminded by a creator that knew every single note of this incredible symphony called life. Your habit was created to help us get to where we wanted to get. And somewhere along the way, we've taught it to help us stay where we are instead of getting to where we want to be. Habit has helped make us dreamers instead of creators. And we've got to train and consciously move our way out of that. And the way you move your way out of that is not by quitting. The way you move out of that is by pushing forward with your dream, dancing to the song your creator has put into your heart, and not letting anybody stop. There are time and time again that you might feel like quitting and say, listen, I can't go any further. You only say I can't go any further because you're not taking 1 second. I don't believe in living in the past, but I do believe in taking 1 second to look back behind you and see how far you've come. Sometimes the boost you need, comes into play when you're able to take a second to look back and see how far you've come. When was the last time you looked how far you've come? Your mind, your maturity, your relationships, your business, your world, your strength, your health. Look how far you've come. We are creating every single day. I know that we've been sticking with habits, and change is something that we have been taught to believe is unsafe, it's unstable. We're taught as children from birth, basically marketing, we're taught safety, to be safe. And somehow change has been caught in the stigma of being something that isn't safe, and habit has been caught in stigma of being safe. This is why people in bad relationships stay in bad relationships. It's not so much love, it's not friendship, it's not change, it's not any of that. It's habit. We hear it expressed sometimes when you say the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Folks, that is a statement of habit. But some of the greatest things we've experienced on this earth, some of the most powerful things we've experienced in this earth are experienced because the force pushing it didn't quit. It may have wanted to quit, but it didn't quit. Whatever you're thinking of quitting right now, before you quit, recognize that you are great. And I'm not just saying you're great to say that you're great. I'm saying that you're great because you are a creator and shaper of your day. Even if you fall back in your habits, and even if you dream of change but never actually change your actions, so you never experience that change, you're still great because you're still creating what you want. If you're dreaming of something and not taking action on it, you're still creating what you want by your actions. You don't want to take actions to change, well, then nothing changes. Congratulations, you're successful. That is also a reflection of your greatness. Remember, your greatness doesn't have to be a positive impact on your life necessarily. If you choose it to be a stagnant impact, if you choose it to be something that keeps you in the prison you're in, then you'll be great at that also. You are creator and shaper of your day. If you want to stay in your habits and stay in your old ways, your greatness will allow you to do that and will allow things to stay the same. If you want to poison yourself on a daily basis with nonsense and negative self-talk, your greatness will help you do that. Folks, you are great. There is no doubt. The question becomes, where are you pointing that greatness? And before you quit, I ask that you point that greatness toward your dreams. Point that greatness towards your dreams. Oh, there's been so many stories of people who just needed to take that extra step. I've told you this story when I was in training. I was in training, and it was a very tough military training, and we had to wear all kinds of weight on our body and our cargo packs and ammunition and our weapons, and it was just a tremendous amount of weight after a long day of training in this exhaustive and disgusting heat that would probably bring you to a boil if you were just in shorts, but we were in full uniform with hats and everything, with on top of that, all kinds of extra stuff on top of us. And they said, do you see that big hill right there? Do you see that hill? And that when you're that tired, it looks more like a mountain. Do you see that hill? I want you at the top of that hill as soon as possible, soldier. Get your ass up there. And as you start going up that hill, it's as if you live a whole lifetime. You have to wrestle not only with the hill, you have to wrestle with the demons of your past. You have to wrestle with the demons of your habits as you negotiate your way around your own cowardice, as you negotiate your way around your own fear, as you negotiate your way through anything that'll stop you from getting there. It becomes a challenge to negotiate through your own nonsense, whether it was taught to you or whether you picked it up on your own. It is nonsense that when you're going through the thick of it, you have to come to face with. And man, I went through all of it. Oh, I the military makes fun and they call it a come to Jesus meeting. They call it a come to Jesus meeting, because this is when you become a philosopher in your own life. You start thinking because you're tired like you've never been tired. You're at this point afraid like you've never been afraid, and you're trying to navigate up this hill. You realize this whole time you've been thinking you've only taken two steps. It's hot. You're starting to think, oh, maybe I should have done better in school, or maybe maybe this military thing isn't for me and I need to get out and get a job, or I need to get out of the military and go back to school. Suddenly you're not in a pumped state of military strength, and you're not growling and barking and chanting like you were doing 20 minutes ago when you were feeling strong. You're feeling weak and tired, and you see this whole mountain ahead of you that you have to climb, and you don't know. You're pretty convinced that you don't have it in you to go up this mountain, so you suddenly become a philosopher. You suddenly become a philosopher. Isn't it funny how honest we get when we're scared or in trouble, and we suddenly become a philosopher? And I went through it all. I started thinking, oh, maybe this isn't for me, and maybe it's for other people, and I don't know if I can climb this whole hill, and I don't think that I can do this, and this military stuff isn't, they don't pay me enough anyways. I wanted a better job. Maybe I should have kept playing soccer and go play soccer in college, and maybe I'll become a professional. All these things came through my mind. All of these things came through my mind because it was my habit throwing it at me, because it wanted me to quit. And I was close. But before I quit, I took a look back. And as I looked back, I realized, with agreement with reality, that yes, at this point, I'd only taken 5 steps. But I was 5 steps closer to the top. And I had taken 5 steps, and that was 5 steps more than I thought I could take. And I had proven myself wrong, because I had distracted myself with my own nonsense. And I began to think, what if I started paying attention to these steps and to what's actually happening? I'm not asked. What if I started messing with my own mind and making it a little bit more real? If my fear can create nonsense, why can't my strength create equal nonsense to push me the other way? How important is my agreement with reality here? And as I was thinking this, I took 3 more steps. Wait a second, what's happening here? Am I really being asked? They've asked me to climb this hill that looks like a mountain to me, but what is he really asking me to do? And why are these other guys around me just dropping like flies? What are they saying to themselves that allowing them to quit? And while I was thinking this, I took 2 more steps. And I realized what I'm being asked to do isn't to climb this hill. All I'm being asked to do is to take 1 step and then do it again. Take 1 step and then do it again. Take 1 step and then do it again. Before I quit, let me take 1 more step. And before I quit again, let me take 1 more step. And folks, as I continue to negotiate with my nonsense, as I continue to negotiate with my bad habits, as I continue to negotiate with my fear, I made it to the top of that hill. And when I made it to the top of that hill, I knew that for every moment, I wanted to quit. And for every moment, I came to the realization that the right thing to do and the hard thing to do are the same thing. I simplified my thinking. I took 1 step at a time. And I was the only one that made it to the top. I made it to the top not because I was stronger physically. I made it to the top not because I was more motivated or more patriotic. I made it to the top because before I quit, Instead of looking up at what I had left to climb, I looked back for a second and recognized how far I've come. And I took another step. Folks, how far have you come? And why not take another step? You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Our websites are stevemaraboli.com, abettertoday.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, let's talk some more before you quit. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll be right back. Just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true, the scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You, picking on the weaker man.
Welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, stevemaraboli.com, abettertoday.com, empoweredlivingradio.com. Every single show we have ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. Also, you can check out our newsletter, magazine, what else we got, YouTube, and we're in some other sites around. We're on some other sites around. Check us out on Facebook. We've got an Empowered Living page. We've got a Steve Maraboli page. They're always, my official page is always updated with some sort of quote, something inspirational. The radio show page updates you on the radio show. The radio show page is also going to be the place where we update for the video show that will be starting in the new year. Some changes coming to the way that we do the show in the new year. We're going to be doing the radio show, but we're also going to be incorporating a video show that will be part of the new year. You're also going to see an influx of videos going to our YouTube. We're going to do a lot of video and keep doing the radio, as well as releasing new books at A Better Today Publishing from friends in the industry and some best-selling authors that have come over and are publishing books through our publishing company. So a lot of great things coming in 2012, which is, I can't believe it's incredible to think that 2012 is just a couple of weeks away. So keep an eye out, stay connected. We won't spam you, and that's just not how we run these things. That's not how we run it. So check us out. We're on social media sites, and of course we have our website. So we're talking about before you quit. I mean, how many times have I, and I told the story about that being on that hill when I was in the military, but how many times have I used that since? I mean, in starting A Better Today, it's fascinating to hear when I go into speak. Yesterday I was speaking, and every time I hear an introduction, and you just hear about how much we've accomplished at A Better Today International, how much, it's really a tremendous amount to have accomplished. I mean, when I look back and when I look at this, folks, I'm 36 years old, and we have accomplished a lot in a short amount of time. But in there, and it sounds great when you're being introduced, because the introduction is always the polished version of the story, isn't it? The introduction's kind of like your resume. It's the polished version. There's no dirt in the introduction. But as I listen to those introductions and I look at the success that we've had, the impact we've had in this world, I can't help but think of all those little times that there was plenty of dirt in my mind. There was plenty of quit in my mind. Maybe it was at the very beginning when I was struggling to find people who would want to hear me speak. I was struggling to find people who would want to hear me. The same stuff that I released in the Life, the Truth, and Being Free book. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have bought it all over the world. It's hit at least 10 different bestseller lists around the world. People love the stuff that's in Life, the Truth, and Being Free. But that same stuff, not different stuff, that same stuff, when I was first starting A Better Today, I couldn't find hardly anybody who would want to read it, never mind buy it, but read it. I'd give talks some night, there would be five people there. And I'd talk, and I'd want to quit. But then I'd look back and I'd say, oh, you know, you never know who's going to be in the audience. And it actually worked many times. But I'd have to go back, and before I quit, I'd have to look back and find the positive, find the message in the mess. If I was feeling specific, especially Christian, you know, when you're brought up in a religious home or a religious home, sometimes when you're in trouble, you start praying and you start doing all the things that you were trained to do. And back then, maybe I wasn't saying find the message in the mess. Maybe back then I was saying find the Christ in the crisis. Whatever I was doing, before I quit, I would look back and do it. Even in the beginning when I was having trouble finding ways to make ends meet, as they say. And even though I was writing the four pillars of success, and even though I had written the five truths, and I was talking about intention and action, and I was writing things that the self-help industry wouldn't write for another 10 years, but I was writing them back then, and I was a kid. I was 22 years old, and I was watching them repossess my car. I was watching them turn off the lights to my office. I was looking at the faces of my friends and my family who wanted to say so bad, I told you so. I told you you should have gone into the FBI. I told you you should have gotten a regular job. But before I quit, I looked back and I saw how far I came. I looked forward and saw what I wanted, how I wanted it, how I was going to get there. I listened internally to the song that was playing in my heart. And even if nobody else could hear it, never mind dance to it, but if nobody else could even hear it, doesn't mean that I can't hear it. Just because you can't hear it doesn't mean I can't hear it. Just because you can't hear it doesn't mean I can't dance to it. Your opinion is not my reality. So before I quit, I would check to make sure I was willing to take one more step. And you're listening to me today because I took one more step, and I took another step and another step, and all along the way, it's been well over a decade now. It's leaning on two decades now, and here I am. I've taken a bunch of one more steps after being at points where I wanted to quit. I don't think that ever goes away. I was reading notes and feedback from my brilliant friend Elizabeth, who's in Australia, and she's talking about fear and fear being habitual and how people often quit out of fear of failure, fear of rejection, etc. And she's absolutely right, because we experience this, and along the way, Elizabeth, and along the way, anyone who's writing about this right now, along the way, I have felt all those things, and many of those things have brought me to my knees, and I was about to quit. But before I quit, I looked back. Before I quit, I looked back. And as I looked back, I was inspired enough to get off my knees and stand up. And as I looked ahead, I was inspired enough to take one more step and realize no matter how far that is away from me, as I take one more step, the only thing true is that I am closer. And if I quit now, I will never be closer. Fear plays an incredible part on this. Fear plays an incredible part on this. Fear is one of the greatest weapons your habit has. Your habit has some great weapons in its arsenal, and perhaps the greatest of these is fear. Fear wrapped in a tuxedo. When you wrap fear in a tuxedo, we call it insecurity. All insecurity is fear dressed up in a tuxedo with its hair combed and looking sharp, but it's still fear. And it is perhaps the greatest tool of habit. Well, you don't know how to do that. Why don't you just do what you're doing and find another way? It knows you won't look for another way if you quit now, but it won't tell you that. Find another way. Be afraid, and if you fight through that fear and you put that fear in its place, it says, "Uh-oh, it beat the fear." So let's dress fear up. Let's put up a costume on fear. Maybe it won't understand and see this as fear. We dress it up nice in a tuxedo. We shave them. We make them all look nice, and we present it as insecurity. Fear in its grandest disguise. And as you feel insecure from entering a territory of change and new habits that you have not yet met, the urge and the resistance, the urge and the resistance becomes so strong to go back to your habits. The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. That is perhaps one of the greatest lies we tell ourselves. That is the billboard. That is the bumper sticker of the habit. It wants you to think that. It wants you to know that. Because what it doesn't want is for you to replace it. So along your journey, it's okay if you feel like quitting. If you feel like quitting along the way, no matter what level of success you have reached, if you feel like quitting, it's just a part of life. You never stop being human until you die. So if you're alive, you're human. And if you're alive, you're going to feel fear. Just like you're going to feel hunger, you're going to feel thirst. You're going to feel these natural reactive instincts that have been developing for hundreds of thousands of years. You're going to feel them. Your mind, your contextualizer, and your hippocampus area of your brain is always going to try and keep you in a place that keeps you going with the flow. But in this world, so many of us don't want to just go with the flow. We want to experience that dream we've had for years. And we want to flow with that dream. So in order to do that, we have to change the habits, replace the habits that are keeping us where we are, so we can get together with some habits that'll take us to where we want to be. How would your life be different if before you quit, you looked back at where you were, you look forward to where you're going, and you make the decision to take one more step? How would your life be different? I would tell you how life would be different. I would tell you how our society would be different. We've all heard that Thomas Edison had gone through over 1,000 tries in his attempt to create and master the light bulb. We also know that along that journey, you know, he was a scientist, and scientists of the day, and still to this day, relied heavily on local merchants to sponsor their science experiments. And when he would go out looking for money and say, "Hey, local merchant, would you like to fund my science experiments?" The local merchants after a while, they said, "No, get out of here, dude. You've got no results. You've got no results." And, of course, the famous quote from Edison there was, "No results? Are you kidding? I now know 1,000 things that do not work." And while it makes for a great quote, if you think of the psychology of what's happening, Thomas Edison he's seeing that he's failing. He's feeling that he's feeling this resistance and that it's beating him up pretty good. He's noticing that other people are noticing, and they don't want to give him any more money because they think he's failing. He could have quit. My guess is that he had a little come to Jesus idea. He became a philosopher like I did on that hill. And he probably went through all of those same ideas I went through, and then finally he found a powerful agreement with reality that would help him keep going, help him just take that one more step. So instead of saying, "Look at all this failure," as he was on his proverbial hill, he said, "I now know 1,000 things that do not work." And folks, he took one more step. and we have light bulbs because of it. Stories like this go on endlessly. Dr. Seuss, he had over 20 rejections from publishing companies all over the place, telling them that his children's books were no good. Somewhere in there, before he quit, he decided to send one more letter. Before he quit, he decided to take one more step, and he became the Dr. Seuss we all know. And now we look at it the very polished way. But only Dr. Seuss knew the dirt and the fear that had to go through his mind. The spring cleaning he had to do in his mind in order to help himself find the power to take one more step. To take one more step. J.K. Rowling was almost homeless, or maybe she was even homeless at one point. Over 10 publishers had rejected her books before finally she had found somebody who would publish her books that the other over 10 publishers had said were no good. These books aren't worth publishing, until she finally found somebody to publish her Harry Potter books. She had to find a way to take one more step. One more step, folks. What happens if you take one more step? Go ahead and convince yourself to quit. But before you quit, what happens if you take one more step? Before you quit your diet, what happens if you do it for one more day? Before you quit your marriage, what happens if you work on it one more day? Before you quit caring about fellow human beings, what happens if you care one more day? Before you quit chasing your dreams, what happens if you chase them one more day? What happens if you stop listening to people who are poisoning your dream? What happens if you go on one more day? The beautiful and successful Julie Andrews, when she was young, she was told by experts, she was told by people in the industry that she wasn't photogenic enough for film. This was before she went on to be perhaps one of the biggest stars of her day. She was told by quote-unquote experts that she wasn't good enough. I know what happens to a mind when you're told that. I was told I wasn't good enough. I was told I wasn't smart enough. And as I started to see my car get repossessed, and I started to see people not want to read what I was writing, I started seeing people not wanting to come to the free shows I was giving, I started to believe it. But before I quit, I did whatever I had to do to take one more step. Take one more step. Take one more step. Don't let that fire go out inside of you, folks. If you stop taking steps, what ends up happening? The reason I'm spending an hour pleading with you to not quit, but to take one more step, is because I know, as a student of humanity, I know that if you don't take that step, if you allow yourself to quit, if you find the habit of quitting, if you partake in the habit of letting your fear decide, if you let your fear drive the vehicle of your life, I know what ends up happening is that inner fire goes out. And when that inner fire goes out, folks, you are dead. You're dead. They may not bury you for another 50 years. They may not bury you for another 60 years. But that burial ceremony will only be a ceremonious act commemorating something that happened years ago, the day you decided to stop following your dreams. And the day you decided to quit on yourself. Keep that inner fire alive. Take one more step. Walt Disney took one more step. Did you know it? We've all heard of Disney. We've seen Disney. Many people have been blessed enough to go to Disney, but what most people don't know, is that Disney had jobs. He was fired as a newspaper editor, and they told him he was fired because he lacked imagination and he had no good ideas. And on the way to building the great Disney World and Disneyland, he went bankrupt several times. His proposals for the amusement park were rejected. But he did whatever he had to do to take one more step. Folks, I learned. I learned a long time ago that when you have dreams, whether on purpose or by accident, whether with hate or with love, there are people who are going to try to kill it. Sometimes with hate, some people are not nice. Sometimes with love, people are trying to protect you from failure. They're selling you their fear. So they, even with love, are trying to kill your dream. Take one more step. It is the natural order of things for others to try and kill your dreams. Whether with good intention or bad intention, it is natural order for others to keep you in the habit of where you are. But don't you dare. Don't you dare be the causal source of the murder of your dreams. Don't you dare be the causal source for the malnutrition of your hopes. Don't you dare be the causal source of extinguishing that amazing fire within. Take one more step. There was once a man, and he started his military career as a captain, and he ended it as a private. That is a devastating failure. There was another man, and the same man was a lawyer. He was a lawyer, and he was considered too impractical and temperamental to achieve success. He then went, this same man went into politics, and as politics, he was defeated. He was defeated time and time again as he tried for legislator, as he tried to go into Congress, as he tried to be a commissioner, a general. He was defeated in a Senate seat. He was rejected in his efforts to be vice president. He was rejected in another senatorial run. This man kept failing and kept getting rejected, but he kept going, doing whatever he had to do to find one more step. This man would eventually, because he didn't quit, become recognized as the great emancipator, Abraham Lincoln. Take one more step. That's all. Take one more step. That's all. Keep that internal fire lit. Understand there's nothing wrong with you because you're afraid. There's nothing wrong with you because you're trying to tend to gravitate to your old habits. There's nothing wrong with you for being afraid. There's nothing wrong with you for feeling insecure. There's nothing wrong with you for feeling failure. There's nothing wrong with you. That actually shows that everything's right with you. So take one more step. You're almost there. Take one more step. You are almost there. That's what life is. Life is the journey of one step at a time. Take one more step. And when you're doing so, never forget this New Yorker loves you. This show is over. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Check out our website, stevemaraboli.com, abettertoday.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. I love you all. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.